This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we are doing Love in the Forecast. Ooh. And if you haven't watched this movie yet and don't want us to spoil it for you, because we have all the spoilers.
Yes.
Maybe pass on this one and we will see you next time.
Hey there, lover. Are you ready?
Yes, yes, I am, for one dry kiss.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies. Hallmark romance movie recap podcast, where we are covering a beautiful October chested movie in this episode of Love in the Forecast. Tamara's shaking her head at me. Mm-hmm. I would like to introduce you to my lovely co-host, who is dubious and full of all the closed mouth that one can fit in their beautiful hearts.
Wow. I sound like a real pleasure to be around. Hey.
It's a party. It's a party going on.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I am with my sunny, my breezy, my warm and dewy co-host, Corinne. You see what I did there with all the weather references to
Ooh.
You?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yours is a little nicer than mine is, but maybe I'm just doing a little payback
for
a couple of ones that you've done to me.
I don't remember being vicious in my descriptions, but I will take your word for it.
You don't remember the one where I was like, hey, none of those things are true about me, and you were like, yeah, but if you were to choose one, it would be this. And I was like, yeah, that's right. You were like, lascivious. And one of them was kind of like sexy. And then,
well, how dare I call you sexy? Bad Tamara.
Bad.
Real, real bad.
Oh! This is a movie that had me feeling all kinds of ways. I was like, yeah, no, yeah, no, no. It was more no's than yes, but you know.
I think it's worth mentioning that I don't think we can call this a true October chested episode because there's barely any bare chests, so it's like October chested. Because he has a shirt off for maybe 4 seconds, maybe if that.
Marcus Rosner barely had his shirt off too.
Well, I know. That's why I'm disappointed, because I was completely tainted by unleashing Mr. Darcy with that beautiful pool scene that we just did, where he was like out and his nipples were waving in the wind.
And now
it's like, I literally called you and was like, Corinne, I don't think this one has his shirt off because I didn't see it. And you're like, go to this moment and this minute and this timestamp. And I was like, oh, there it is. I was looking down and I completely missed it. Damn it.
I was like, I know exactly where it is, but unless you watch it on a large television and you're not blinking, you will miss it.
I was on a large television and I did blink. October chested. Not bear, October. I refuse to give it the R-E.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
Withholding the R-E.
Okay.
So, do you have a synopsis for us, Corinne?
Oh, first I have an important question for you.
Okay.
Are you wearing your bra?
Nope.
Woo!
I am October chested too.
Me too.
Look at the puppies go. Look at them go. I'm so glad we don't have a YouTube channel and people can't see what I'm doing right now.
I was joining you, so you know.
See what we are doing right now.
Yes. We are in appropriate braless podcasting attire. And I do have a synopsis.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Now that we've established that we are footloose and fancy free with our boobs.
Well, it is almost 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, if you can't fling off your bras late in the evening when you are alone, when can you? Well, I mean, there's lots of times you can, but you shouldn't.
So, I wrote a synopsis, but I left some places blank to insert information, a la Tamara. Thanks for being such a great role model. I was like, oh, Tam gave herself some cues in hers. I'm just going to do that, too. I'll fill it in. Guess what? No, that did not happen. Leah, played by Cindy Busby, is a 30-something singleton working as a weather forecaster for a local news station. She's got shoulder-length blonde hair, and her personal style is cute summery dresses, jeans, and t-shirts, and a good rain jacket with a cute umbrella and cute galoshes. And did I mention cute? She is all kinds of cute. After a series of career and dating fails, she's decided to have a year of Leah, where she says no to dating and yes to finishing her degree to become a meteorologist and moving forward in her career. Mark, played by Christopher Russell, is a country boy who is subletting the townhouse next to Leah, and he has decided to do his own year of Mark, where he is giving a year in the city a try as he works a city job and lives a city life with his dog, Brody. Leah and Mark become fast friends as they bond being next door neighbors to each other, just as Tamara and I became fast friends, bonding by being almost next door neighbors to each other.
Damn those Benoviches for being between us.
Damn them. But Mark is catching the feels for Leah, and Leah is in the middle of her year of Leah. What will happen next? Will Mark and Leah realize their true love? Will they both go their own separate ways, doing their own separate years? Tune in to find out. P.S. Mark's personal style is nice tight-fitting jeans and Henley tees and t-shirts and a big smile. He's got short brown hair and he's got a smile for days. Synopsis done. Do you have fun facts for us?
I do. I can't say all of them are fun facts. Some of them are mildly amusing, so.
Here's some mediocre facts, but enjoy.
Yes, I have tons of mediocre facts. I added a lot because hopefully a bunch of mediocrity will add to one fun fact.
I like
which
it.
Which probably will not
I'm
work
here
out,
for it.
But we'll see. So, not a fun fact, but an interesting tidbit that Karun and I came across together when we were watching this movie. I was like, I really did not buy Jennifer copying as Cindy Busby's mom because they look like they're pretty much the same age, but they put like a gray wig on Jennifer. And you were like, no, I didn't notice that at all. And I was like, we looked it up. We're like, scroll, Google. And it winds up that Cindy Busby, who plays Leah Waddle in the film, was born in 1980. While Jennifer Copping, who plays Leah's mom, was born in 1979. So, according to the Hallmark Land, Mama Waddle had her daughter Leah at the ripe old age of four. 4 years old. You don't want to be one of those, what do they call it, geriatric mothers. You just got to jump on that wagon as soon as you can.
That this way she wasn't a spinster.
Okay, next fun fact. Christopher Russell, who plays Mark, his first role, because he knew he wanted to be an actor early on, was portraying Mary and Joseph's donkey in his preschool production of the Nativity scene, for which he received rave reviews. Go, Christopher Russell. That's going to be the extent of my fun facts for Christopher Russell, because sadly he has a very common name, and it was very hard to find things about him.
So, do you know any of these reviews?
No, we did. I just saw it in a couple of places that he just kept saying, like, and it was to rave reviews. So, I'm sure it was a pat on the head. And, honey, you did so good.
Man, we need to interview him so we can ask him what those reviews were. I'm so intrigued.
Good donkey. Check.
We want your mom's clippings.
In the opening credits of the movie, the male lead, Christopher Russell's name is misspelled. I have not seen this. I need to go back and check it out because they list him as Christopher. They forgot the R. We don't see enough of Christopher's chest in this movie.
That's why it's Christopher instead of Christopher.
The opening aerial shot of the movie is actually showing Wichita, Kansas, which makes sense because in this movie, the weather forecasters keep getting their weather predictions wrong. And in Kansas, one of the more well-known sayings there is, if you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes.
Thanks, Kansas.
Yeah. When Mark tells Leah there is Wi-Fi on his father's farm, he says Scout's honor, but holds up the wrong hand. Boy Scouts affirm with three fingers on the right hand, and he held up his left. Dun, dun, dun.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
And then last fun fact. Jen Lilly was originally cast for Leah Waddle. Jen Lilly from Paris, Wine, and Romance. Jen Lilly from...
Oh!
Jen Lilly from Yes, I Do. Was originally cast as Leah Waddle. but it went to Cindy Busby, and I can imagine that Cindy Busby and Jen Lilly got in a hair-pulling fight. Mm-hmm. But Cindy obviously won, and probably because it's written in her contract somewhere that she must have a shirtless scene with her co-star, and you're really hard-pressed to find those in the Hallmark universe. Oh, that is the end of my fun facts, and shall we dive right in?
Yeah. It's Weather O'Clock, and Leah Waddell, weather forecaster extraordinaire, is in the ARP News studio giving the day's weather. It's going to be beautiful and sunny. Yay! As soon as she is done, she approaches Chris, the meteorologist for the network, and asks him if she can help him in some way. Maybe I can help with the weather tracking. Put together some reports. Chris looks at her with gravitas and says, "Sorry, only men can really figure out the weather." Well, what he actually said was, "I'm sorry, Leah, but predicting the weather is a science that takes years to perfect. The way you can help best is by using that great energy you have on camera and sharing my predictions on ARP. But maybe you could look at the radar and text me some of the results that might be helpful. Thanks for being such a mentor and throwing her a bone, Chris." Leah may have been defeated by Chris, the meteorologist, but she's happy that she at least has her date with camera operator Nolan that evening to look forward to. She sees Nolan and says, "Hey, where were you thinking of going for dinner tonight?" Nolan, who wore his best Hawaiian shirt to work that day, responds sadly, "I'm sorry, Leah. Carson got a last-minute deal for Vegas, so we're heading out of town tonight." Leah's smile gets wider. "Sure, totally makes sense. You have a good time with Carson," Nolan says. "But hey, rain check? I'd love to do it when I get back," Leah super casually responds. "Yeah, totally. Have a good time." And Nolan walks off to high-five Carson on their exciting Vegas trip. It's later that day, and so much for the sunshine that Chris predicted, it's raining. Leah is standing outside in the park with her pink rain jacket, umbrella, and galoshes, looking at her phone. Suddenly, she gets a muddy splash as a dirty, wet tennis ball bounces past her with a dog in hot pursuit. Woof, woof, woof. She looks up from her phone to see a man in a rain jacket following said dog. He pauses in front of her and says, "What are you doing on your phone? You're out in nature. You should be enjoying it instead of fucking around on social media." "I love that look on your face.
How about you mind your business? How about you mind your business, sir?"
He smiles a charming smile, but the words that came out of his mouth really weren't charming at all.
Ooh.
Leah smiles smugly. "That's so sweet of you to be concerned. Bless your heart. I'm actually checking the weather from the radar tower behind me." The man, used to disarming people with his handsomeness, tries mansplaining to her again. "You know, when you have all this," he gestures to the surrounding nature, "you don't really need radar towers and reports to predict the weather. Nature will tell you what you need to know." She flares her eyes and smiles, nodding her head in an "okay, asshole, whatever" way, and he, completely oblivious, waves to her and says, "Stay dry now," calls his dog Brody, and leaves.
Isn't there a saying, something about doesn't know enough to come out of the rain? She has a purpose and a reason to be out there, because she's close to the tower. He's just out there mansplaining and playing with his dog in the pouring rain, trying to give advice. Life lessons.
Ugh, that fucker with his nature weather. Nature weather comes up a lot in this movie.
Does it? Oh, okay.
Tamara, you see, nature weather happens a lot in this movie.
Does it?
Yes. Because it's a way of predicting the weather without using science.
Science. Science bad, nature good. Got it. Okay.
I'm like, science is nature. Fucking, Anyways, nature weather. Nature weather. Nature weather. Later, Leah's at her mom and dad's house watching the game with her dad and talking to her mom. "What I've been doing hasn't been working so far. So for the next year, I'm focusing on myself and my career. No more dating. This year is going to be the year of Leah, 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 Leah." Dad chimes in from the living room couch. "Fantastic. That meteorologist is always getting the weather forecast wrong, and I know you'll rock it. Leah is feeling encouraged. I'm going to finish my degree, get my own place, and focus on winds, ocean currents, and weather systems. It's the year of Leah! Leah, Leah.
I just have to say that I took a weather and climate class in college. I've told Corinne this story many times, and I believe my teacher was a weatherman and meteorologist, because they can do both. That it's not really that mysterious that you have to, like, be sitting in front of your computer for hours out of the day and then task somebody else to give the weather. So I did not buy that whole, like, weatherman that was like, you need years and years of experience.
Oh, he was
the man
an
in this movie so far. Yes, no, yes, yeah. Yes, he was. And my weather and climate teacher, I believe his name was Jason Laney. I can't be entirely sure because it was like years and years and years ago. But he was delightful and very informative and made me almost like weather. But that class was 2.5 hours long and you can only take so much. The year of Leah. Leah. Starts off with a weird snafu. Now she seems to be irresistible to guys. She's on a park bench, and her papers get blown off her lap, and three guys fall all over themselves retrieving them for her. She takes the papers and thanks them, then goes off to her usual coffee stand, and all three guys follow her. And that is actually less stalkery than it sounds, because they seem to be almost entranced by her loveliness and light.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, the vendor is giving her the eyes and free cinnamon rolls.
Ooh.
But Leah seems oblivious. She charges forward with her plans to move into her cute apartment all by herself and out of her parents' house. Year of Leah! Woohoo!
Woo!
On moving day, she's schlepping boxes and unpacking when she hears a dog barking through the walls. And she's a little put off by this. And I certainly do feel you, Leah, because I have a neighbor who, for some reason, leaves their window open and they have a little terrier dog that just barks and barks and barks for hours at nothing. So I'm really close to this project and I have a lot of feelings about it. So if I get a little amped up, I apologize. She knocks on the door, but no one's home. So she gets creative and puts her speaker right against the wall and tries different types of music. She plays a little country. The dog keeps barking. She plays a little top 40. The dog quiets right down, and she happily goes on unpacking as the music blasts behind her. A little while later, her neighbor comes home, and as he passes her apartment, he hears the loud music and on her door saying, "Hey, sorry to bother you, but can you turn down the music?" She turns it off and is way nicer than I'd be and apologizes to him. She apologizes to him. "Sorry, I just turned it up because your dog was barking and he seems to like top 40. He's not a country fan and thankfully he does not like hard rock." The neighbor apologizes back saying, "Oh yeah, Brody gets a little stir crazy when he's cooped up." "Well then don't leave your dog at home, asshat." That's from Tamara, not from Leah.
Oh.
"He could probably afford doggy daycare. If your dog was that stir crazy in the apartment and barks for hours on end." If your dog likes to bark, then you need to do something about that. "Speaking as a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor." "Hey, I know you," Leah says, wagging her finger in his direction. "Oh, yeah," he remembers her too. "I didn't recognize you without your raincoat or your phone in your hand." She gives a sarcastic. And he says, "Hi, I'm Mark." They shake hands just as Leah's chair gets delivered. But the delivery guys ignore her request to bring it in and just dump it on her porch. Leah calls out a sarcastic, "Thank you." And Mark puts his things down and offers to help carry it in. "It's the least I can do after my dog's barking." They take it in together. And Leah asks, "So, have you lived here long?" "Oh, no," he answers, "just a few months. It's actually my friend's place, but he travels a lot, so Brody and I are just staying there for a year while I try out a new job. I really should have let Brody stay on the farm." "Yes, you should have, Mark." Leah gasps. "You lived on a farm?" she asks excitedly, and he says, "Yes," and looks behind her and says, "Wow, that's quite a setup you have there." "Oh, yeah," she explains. "That's my weather forecasting equipment. I'm a meteorologist, but you might know me as ARP's weather girl at noon." He looks at her with a little side eye and says, "I may know you if I watch the news from my weather reports." "Oh, that's right," she remembers. "You're the nature guy. Well, you better leave the house with an umbrella because the folksy stuff's not accurate." really? He argues. I might go so far as to say my folksy stuff is more accurate than all of that. He points at her computers. I doubt that, she says. But I have to get back to work unpacking. Mark invites her over to share his takeout food. She's tempted but declines. As he leaves, she calls out, "Don't forget to put on some J-Lo or Shakira." He stops and looks at her quizzically. You know, for the dog? He chuckles as he walks out, saying, "Oh, I swear I thought he was a Kenny Chesney fan." After he leaves, she realizes that she was flirting with him and then chastises herself, saying, "Eye on the ball, Leah. Eye on the ball." The next day, at the news studio, the weather was wrong, wrong, wrong. And so was Nolan, the camera guy. He has also suddenly caught the feels for Leah like everyone else and apologizes for breaking the date. But Leah's totally over him and says, "Oh, it's fine, Nolan. You know what? I'm actually taking time off dating now anyways." Tam says, "You missed your window, buddy. Wah, wah, wah."
I love how just like nonchalant she is towards him after that. It's awesome.
Oh, I know.
She's just like, "Oh, yeah, no, we're cool.
I'm just not dating anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not dating you or anybody else. You turn me off to men, Nolan." The next day, Leah's mom comes over to check out her new place, and Mark pops in to say a quick hello. Leah introduces them, and Mom's eyes say, "Awooga! Awooga!" "Why, if I weren't happily married, and if I were my daughter's age..." Oh, wait. I practically am. They talk about the weather and what a beautiful day it is. Mark looks up and says, "Well, enjoy it while you can. Smells like rain." Leah counters, "That's not what my computer says. It's supposed to be clear skies all day." He smiles good-naturedly and assures them that they may want to take an umbrella. After he leaves, Leah scoffs, "It doesn't smell like rain. It smells like the coffee I just made." And she continues to give her mama a tour. Later, they go to the park for a snack, and here it comes. We all knew it was coming. The mom starts talking about her daughter's love life. So, I'm going to ignore that. Mom says, as they sit on a bench, "I've been meaning to talk to you about your neighbor." "Mom," she argues, "I told you I'm not dating anyone right now." "Oh, I know, honey, and I respect your opinion." No, she doesn't. "But I think you shouldn't lean too much in one direction or the other. You have to keep your eyes open at all times." A hunky guy passes by and says, "Evening, ladies." Ooh. Mom's eyebrows are raised, and Leah's too busy digging in her notches to notice him. "I'm just saying," Mom continues, "that there's been a lot of guys that have been noticing you. And if that is the truth, Corinne, I think I need to go and have a year of Tamra. Or maybe if being off limits to dating attracts men to you, then maybe I should just put it out there in the universe that I'm going to have a decade of Tamra. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me."
So far, I haven't found that to be very successful, but, you know, I am also not a petite blonde, so there you go.
Okay, I'm still putting it out there just in case. "Mom, please," Leah protests. "I need to focus on myself. That's why I moved out, and I'm only one credit shy of getting my meteorology degree, and then the station will have to take me seriously."
Yeah.
Just then, another guy passes by and says, "Hello." Mom gets a little smile, watching all this eye candy pass by, and Leah is still preoccupied with her food. "Well," Mom says, "you know what they say, when it rains, it pours." Just then, a thundercloud claps, and it starts to rain. "Oh, seriously?" Leah cries at the sky, because she was wrong again.
Aw. It's evening, and Leah is in the shared backyard that she has with Mark. I still have mixed feelings at this point, because Mark, once again, is like, "Science is bunk in predicting the weather. Nature is the way to go." We also find out that Mark... I'm like, oh, all the anti-vaxxers of it all. Oh. We also find out that Mark grew up on a dairy farm, but is trying city living for a year to see how he likes it. He's consulting for Drewer's Dairy. In this scene, though, what really chaps my hide is that they make it seem like Leah can't figure out how to put batteries into her weather monitor, and she needs Mark's help to do it. But I personally think the actress Cindy Busby thought it was lame, too, because when she's initially fiddling with it, the screen is dark, but when she hands it to Mark to fix, the screen is on. So she motherfucking, quote, fixed it.
before giving it to him. Ha! Take that!
Mm-hmm.
Down at the man! Explaining of it all.
Damn the man! Damn the man!
Oh, this movie. This movie is so fucking sexist on so many different levels. Back at the ARP News Studio, Leah has her freshly earned BS in meteorology, so she takes the opportunity to approach Chris again, and once again a fine illustration of how women have a hard time getting ahead in their careers, by good old meteorologist Chris. Chris, I passed my finals and now have a BS. I'm an official meteorologist now. Chris smiles condescendingly. That's great. Leah forges on. I have a full weather station in my house. I can help with reports or any other way. Chris looks at her. You are so enthusiastic, and I think that's great. But to be able to become a good meteorologist, you need years of experience, and you just don't have that. Once you get some experience under your belt, then we can talk.
Hasn't he been wrong, like, 2 out of the 2 times that we've talked about him? This Chris fellow?
Look, it's because he doesn't use nature to predict the weather. This is why, but, you know.
But he's putting her off saying, you need years and years of experience to predict the weather wrong on the news.
Years and years of experience to predict the weather wrong on the news. I love it.
Yeah, Chris has been wrong multiple times. You are fully correct. And he is also not only wrong on weather predictions, but also wrong in the way that he treats Leah. Is what I would say.
Yeah, he's an asshat, but he's kind of a sexy older asshat, I must say. I was like, hello.
Yeah, if he doesn't,
hello there, Silver Fox.
If he doesn't open his mouth, then great. He looks pretty, but beyond that, as soon as he opens his mouth, it's like, back away, back away, back away, back away, back away from that man. Hey. Oh, it's a very short song, but it says everything you need to know.
And effective.
Yeah, totally. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for nurturing a younger person's career. Nice going there. No, I'm not bitter. Not bitter at all. After she's been freshly turned down by Chris, Nolan approaches Leah. Hey, you were amazing. Leah smiles. Thanks. Oh, by the way, do you think I could borrow some of the station's weather equipment? Nolan sees his opportunity. Yes, I can even get it for you, and then maybe after. Leah cuts him off. Thanks, Nolan. I really appreciate the help, and walks away. Drop that mic, Leah. Drop that mic. Oh, so good. So good. And now for one of the most important moments in this movie that doesn't concern bare-chestedness. Prepare yourself.
No, I was protect. Okay, all right.
It's Nelson motherfucking Wong! It's Nelson motherfucking Wong! And he's a singing delivery person named George. He's on Leah's front porch with a bunch of balloons, and he's singing his delivery message to himself. Beautiful lady, I'm the one for you. I have a lot of love to share. Just like the balloons being carried to you. Since no one answers, he heads down the steps to leave and runs into Mark. Mark says, are those for Leah? George responds, yes, but they need a signature. Mark assures him, no problem. I'm her next door neighbor and I'm happy to sign. I'll make sure she gets them. George is bummed that he doesn't get to sing for Leah, but happy to be completing the delivery. Says great and hands the balloons to Mark after he signed for it. As George walks off singing his delivery song, Mark stoops in front of Leah's door and picks up a bouquet of flowers and a gift basket. I wish they'd had George say that he can't deliver the item without singing the song, because it would have been awesome to see Nelson motherfucking Wong serenade Mark, but I digress. When Leah gets home, there's a note on her door and she knocks on Mark's door to pick up her packages. He invites her in and asks her, so is it your birthday or something? Leah says, no, and sees the balloons, the bouquet, and the gift basket on the counter. Mark offers her some water, and she accepts and also comments, whoa, are all these for me? Mark nods, yup. Leah explains that when she was trying to get dates, she was having no luck, but ever since she started focusing on her career and swore off dating for a year, doing the year of Leah, 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 she's gotten a lot of attention from guys. apparently many of whom know her address, which is kind of creepy, but we shall overlook that point.
I don't want to look over that point. Yes, how do all these guys know where to send that crap? Like, what? Oh, it's the coffee guy. Oh, he's just wishing me a happy birthday. The coffee guy knows your address? Uh-huh. How does a coffee guy know your address?
Oh, it's the guy from the park that sits next to me during lunchtime. He always just magically happens to be there. Oh, he knows your address, too? How do all these fucking men know her address? She must just be like, oh, here's my card. It's got my address on it, my home address on it. Winky, winky. I may not be dating, but here's my address.
Leah. The call is coming from inside the house. Run away.
Ooh. She grabs the gift basket and they go over to the living room. She sets the basket on the table and accepts the frosty glass of water from Mark. Mark responds, I totally get it. I have a year experiment of my own going on with city living and my job. Leah nods appreciatively, and then Mark's focus suddenly changes. Wait a minute, he says, staring at the gift basket. Are those cheese sticks? Leah responds, I don't know. Let's find out. She breaks open the gift basket. Red pepper jelly, chocolate almonds, and... ta-da! Cheese sticks. You want? She grabs one and cracks open the red pepper jelly and they dip and munch. Leah is curious. So what are you going to do if the job doesn't work out? Mark happily crunches on his stick. Go back to the farm? No regrets. And on the plus side, I've gotten to meet a really great neighbor. Leah responds, well, obviously. She holds her cheese stick towards him and says, cheers. He lofts his cheese stick towards her as well. And she continues, to great neighbors, he responds, to great neighbors, and they tap their cheese sticks in a rather cute toast.
I have questions. Nelson Wong, you don't call him Nelson Wong. You don't call him Nelson. You call him Nelson motherfucking Wong.
Because he's so badass. He's awesome. I love him. And he's in all of these Hallmark movies. He plays, like, the guy working the register at the hotel. He plays, like, all of these different characters, a lot of them named Kenny, in all of these movies, and he is a fucking delight.
Have we seen him in more? Because I remember it was always you. He was a mailman.
Yeah, and that was this his one, biggest role.
He was a delivery man. Dude, you just like seeing Nelson motherfucking Wong like dropping packages off at people's houses? Because those are the only two roles.
He's got a package for you. He's got a large package.
You could just shove it right in my box. You started it.
And you brought it on home. You knocked that sucker out of the park. It's been raining for 2 weeks and we're long overdue for a montage. Some sweet pop music plays. While we see her turning down guys on dating apps, George, the delivery guy, bringing her flowers and other assorted gifts, as well as the progression of Mark and Leah's friendship, from Mark doing manly things like installing weather vanes, opening pickle jars, and fixing sinks, to Leah baking a casserole.
I'm shaking my head vigorously right now. I'm shaking my head vigorously.
Oh my gosh. The sexism in this movie. The gender roles. Oh my gosh. They go from knocking on each other's doors and waiting for the person to answer to knocking on each other's door before entering.
Soon after the montage. Leah pops by Mark's house, as she often does based on that montage, and Mark is on the couch looking a little down.
Aww.
She asks if he's okay, and he says, yeah, no. Do you want to go for a walk? And even though it's raining, why? Why the fuck does he keep wanting to walk in the rain? They go for a walk in the rain. And as they are strolling, he explains that his job is different from how he thought it would be. And he's learning a lot, but he misses home.
Mm.
Did something happen? Leah asks. And he says, no, but, you know, I FaceTimed my dad today and he seemed really lonely. Yeah, Leah offers. But who says you have to stick it out for a whole year? Well, I gave my word that I would give this an honest shot and stay a year, even if I'm not cut out to be a city boy. Just then, Brody bounds off into the park, and they go running after him, calling, Brody! They eventually catch up to the puppers wallowing in a puddle of mud. Well, you can't take the farm out of the dog, Mark says. Leah laughs. Can you blame him with all these puddles? But then she gets serious. They actually should get rain buckets out here so they can use all this rainwater for good when we need it. Mm-hmm. And it could teach people about weather and climate. Mark asks, how would somebody go about doing that? Like a petition? That could work, Leah says excitedly. And we can get an anemometer.
Yes,
an anemometer. Yes. Good, Tamara. Good. I need a cheese stick as a reward for saying that word.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
We can get an anemometer in the park and maybe a weather center for the kids. What do you think? Mark smiles. I think I love. There is a slight pause before he says, your enthusiasm. I'm in.
Aww.
You know, Leah adds, if this petition goes through, you'll have to stay in the city longer. He smiles and says, and get to hang out with my friend and neighbor? I'm in.
Aww.
See, now Mark starts earning a few points with that whole conversation. I was like, supportive, interested in something that she's passionate about, and like goes for it. Give that man a cheese stick and Tamara too.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. He's starting to thaw my frosty facade for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm still looking at you with side eye, Mark, but I'm starting to nod a little bit. A little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
When they get back to their apartment, he smiles and says, thanks for cheering me up. And they go their separate ways. And as he leaves, you see a little glimmer of something in Leah's eyes, but she stomps it down. She stomps it down hard and goes inside.
Feelings? What feelings? I don't have feelings.
It's the year of Leah. I said, the year of Leah. The next time we see them together, they're getting signatures, and Leah's getting a way lot of signatures from guys. Mark notices and teases her a little bit, but she brushes it off. Year of Leah. It's not happening. I don't see men. They see me. I don't care. They take a break and Leah says, oh, there's a food truck nearby. But Mark says, oh, no, I got it covered. And takes out his pocket popcorn, which he hands to her, which is a true sign of vulnerability because no one in the Hallmark world ever shares their pocket popcorn. Just ask Corinne.
Truth. That's why it's pocket popcorn.
Kidding. But he really does have a full-on lunch tray tucked away in his sack, which he shares with her, saying, you know, when you work in a pasture all day, you get in the habit of bringing your lunch, and personally, I prefer eating outside.
Uh-huh.
He looks up and adds, besides, I don't think this rain break will last long. She looks up too and asks, why would you say that? He points to a flock of birds and says, see that? Birds will fly high in good weather, so you barely see them, unless there is a disruption in the air pressure, and then they fly lower to avoid it. Where did you learn that? She asks. My grandpa, he says, semi-proudly. And he also told me about ants. Now, you don't pay much attention to them, but if you did, you would see that they build their hills higher and steeper when rain's coming. Lee is a disbeliever. She tells him, that's all fine and good, but if it's true, I just blew a lot of time and money on a degree for nothing. I will believe the science.
I'm like, yes, she should believe the science. Oh, and by the way, fucking Mark, when you're talking about the birds and them going higher or lower depending on the air pressure, do you know what else measures air pressure? All of her fancy instruments measure fucking air pressure. That is science. Science. Science.
Science. I was also wondering, like, how long it takes for ants to make an anthill and how much time you have to sit there and watch them. And what comparably would you, like, look at? If they're building a high, steep anthill, there's not going to be a less high, less steep anthill right next to it. So you can be like, oh.
Oh, in proportion to this one, I see it's going to rain on this side, but not on the other.
Right. It's going to be 2 inches in about 4.5 hours. That just makes no sense. If you're like twiddling your thumbs outside all the doo-dah day, then I guess you can probably predict the rain. But I mean, honestly, like how often and how long do these things
look
truly predict just the rain?
I have fostered an ant farm on my property for years so that I can go out every day and look at that fucking ant farm, that mound, and measure it so I can be like, is it going to rain or not?
By the way, gentle listeners.
I did not know that about you.
I have no property. So, which also means no ant farm.
I feel duped. I was about to come over and look at your hills.
Oh, I got some hills. It's called Chesty 1 and Chesty 2. Oh, yeah.
If your hills are predicting rain, mine are not. Mine are like low. They are not steep. They're very, they're sloping a little south. So there's sunny skies all over here, according to these bad boys. That's TMI. Sorry. Just forget I ever said that, dear listeners. I am so sorry. We're back to the story. Anyway, so Leah believes in science. And Mark relents with the, yeah, but just remember, Mother Nature's unpredictable and she almost always leaves you clues. Mm-hmm. Just then we hear a, Mark? And a very cute, petite, dark-haired girl approaches. He says, hey, what are you doing here? And they hug while she answers, I should ask you the same thing. You're the diehard country boy in the city. Mm-hmm. Introductions are made all around. The girl's name is Rochelle. Mark and she went to high school together, and there is some serious flirting, on her part, going on. Hmm. Maybe you can call me and tell me all about your new city adventures next time I'm in town, Rochelle offers. Leah's lips are so tight, and her eyes are pleading, say no, say no, say no, just as her phone rings. It's her satellite calling. She steps away to look at the message, but instead listens to Rochelle and Mark catching up. Rochelle eventually leaves, and Leah turns to Mark with a triumphant, ha! No precipitation is in the forecast, so there is no rain in our future. So, who is that? Who is that girl?
not that I care or anything, March. But, you know,
just curious. Who was she? Mark shares that Rochelle and he went to high school, but she went away for college and then stayed away. This is only the second time I've seen her since we graduated. He gets a faraway look in his eye, and Leah adds, well, that'll be fun when you guys catch up with her, you know, when you meet up again and later with that. Her phone buzzes again, and she's aghast. Oh, my God, she reads. Chris is under the weather, and they want me to go in and cover and analyze the weather data before I do my forecast. This is my chance.
Yay!
She looks over at him and realizes her current commitment. She's supposed to be getting signatures and petitioning. Oh, do you mind? She asks, and he shakes his head. No, no, not at all. Go, go. However, he jokes, I don't know if I'm going to get as many signatures as you, she says, funny, while only half-smiling, and thunks her clipboard into his chest and rushes off to fulfill her destiny.
Yay! Do it, Leah, do it!
Go, Leah, go! Go, Leah, go! That night, on her weather segment, she performs seamlessly and tells the camera, put away your umbrellas, Conway, because there is sun on the horizon. The weather graphic shows sunny skies for the next 7 days, but... The next morning, Leah peeks her head out in her jammies with her cup of coffee in hand, and it is pouring rain. She throws her hands up and says, ugh, seriously?
Because she's wrong again. That would be so heartbreaking.
I'd be pissed.
I'd go back to bed. I'd be like, I'm done.
That was her one shot. You had one shot.
And you biffed it. Leah is feeling defeated after her weather forecasting failure. Out in the shared backyard, she's checking her weather equipment. Mark comes on out. How you doing, Leah? Leah, defeated, says, other than giving a completely wrong weather forecast, great. I feel so bad, particularly for the farmers whose crops are going to need a life raft soon if the sun doesn't come out for more than a few hours at a time. Mark assures her, you wouldn't be the first meteorologist to have a wrong prediction. Tell you what, why don't you come with me? I have an idea for a little pick-me-up. They head out to Pearson Pond to go fishing, which, as Tamara pointed out to me, is very small. How small is it?
It's so small that there is probably one fish in the whole thing. Hey!
And upon further examination, to me, really looks like a water trap for a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Tamara confirms.
Picture a water trap for a golf course, fisher people out there. If you have gone fishing, imagine what you would catch in a golf course pond. Continue.
While they're there, he teaches her how to tell the temperature from hearing crickets chirp. It's a real thing. I learned it in math class, but only works between 55 degrees and 100 degrees. Just FYI.
Really?
Yeah.
And he leaves that very pertinent tidbit out, doesn't he, Mr. Mansplaining Mark?
And also, I gotta say that in my area, crickets don't really chirp until it gets to like more like 70s, 80 degrees. When it gets to actual warm weather, I'll hear them. But when it's in the 60s and the 50s, nary a peep where I live. She is delighted by this nature weather fact and also catches a fish, which they release back into Pearson Pond. A bit later, they're sitting by the pond in camp chairs with blankets and a portable barbecue. Mark has, of course, brought food with him, and Leah approves. You know what I like about you? You always have something to eat. Mark responds, self-care 101. If I don't eat enough, I get hangry. And you don't want to meet hangry Mark. It's not a pretty sight. Leah says, oh, I know. Mark looks puzzled, and she continues, I remember running into you after you came home late from work and hadn't eaten lunch. Oof! If only I'd had a cheese stick to appease you then. You were spicy! Mark good-naturedly responds, wow, we haven't been living next to each other that long, and you know all about me. She squinches her face. Well, not everything. I haven't seen that delightful package of yours. How often do you come out here? I added the package part in. I don't know. It just seemed like the thing to do.
You got Nelson motherfucking Wong on your mind. Because he delivers all those
packages. Hello. You know Nelson motherfucking Wong. It is my birthday. You can deliver some packages to me.
God, I hope he never listens to this. You better keep that in.
Well, she says, not everything. How often do you come out here? Mark shakes his head. You know, it's been a while. I'm trying to give the whole city thing a try. And I kind of figured if I came out here, it'd be too easy to get lured back to the country. Does that make sense? Leah nods her head. Yeah, it's kind of like if I went out on a date, I could run the risk of being distracted from my goals. And that could happen particularly if it's a good date. And I almost wonder if she's like, winky, winky. Maybe you should ask me out. Winky, winky. But instead, the intimate moment is interrupted by the chirrup of frogs, and Mark drops some more nature weather knowledge. When it's going to rain, they ribbit louder. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for more nature weather. Ding.
And this is nature weather with Mark.
By the way, nature has nothing to do with science. Science over here, nature over there. Two totally separate things. Yeah.
Oil and water.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of two other things that stay far apart.
The magnets, they're on the same pole.
The wrong side. Yes, yes. I was going to say that too. And you, but you took it.
Twinsies! So we just had a conversation the other night about how we're kind of like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Twins, and we're actually twins and indistinguishable from each other, except we totally are distinguishable from each other, and we're totally not twins at all.
If you'd like to see proof of this, please go to our Instagram page, because I have posted for Corinne's birthday yesterday a very cute picture of us way back in the day.
Aww.
On our origin story at my something birthday party, where we are standing there and look absolutely miserable. Waiting in line for our turn at the motherfucking pinata.
It's because I'm wearing that fucking purple dress. I don't know. You know how much I liked wearing dresses? And then I saw you and what you're wearing. And you're wearing a jumpsuit. And just like what automatically comes into my head is, oh my God, when she had to go to the bathroom wearing that, she had to like strip all the way down.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, little Tamra did not know better at that point. She looked cute, but oh my God, I am sure there was some near misses. Yep.
You did look super cute, but I will tell you, if I'd worn a jumpsuit, that jumpsuit would be wet from the bottom half down because it would take too long to get off as a child. It's dark when they return home, and who do they run into but Darren, the friend that Mark is subletting from. He's briefly returning home between trips. Mark introduces Darren to Leah Waddell, and he's impressed as he watches her on the news when he's in town. So nice to meet you, Darren says. When I'm home for more than 24 hours, you'll have to come over. Leah smiles. I'm down, but I have to admit, I've already spent a bunch of time at your place hanging out with Mark. Anyways, I'll leave you two to catch up, and she heads towards her townhouse. Once she has left, Darren gives Mark the look. Mark sees the look and denies everything. No, 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 no. We're just friends. Darren gives him the other look that says, yeah, right. And they head into the house. The next morning, Darren and Mark are in the kitchen munching on breakfast, and Darren brings up Leah. Are you sure that nothing is happening between the both of you? Mark says, no, I told you. She's taking a year off of dating to focus on herself and her goals. Darren pushes, or until she meets the right guy. Mark shakes his head. Seriously, Darren? I'm not going to be that guy who comes off all smarmy and doesn't respect her boundaries. She says she's taking that time for herself, and I get that. We have a good thing, and I don't want to mess it up. Darren continues pushing his vision. The way you two are together, I see it. It's magnetic. On top of that, I can tell you want to be more than friends. Mark says nothing, and Darren looks at his watch and ushers himself out. I've got to go. Keep me posted on whatever that is going on between the both of you. He throws his bag over his shoulder and heads out the door. And
you guys are like magnets unless you turn the magnets the other way and they repel.
I gotta say that Mark, his nature weather shit, bugs the crap out of me. How it's like, oh no, women can't fix things in this movie, bugs the crap out of me. But like, then there's this, where he's like, she put down a boundary and I'm totally respecting it and I'm not going to be that guy. And I'm like, yeah, Mark, yeah, that's awesome. I'm so confused by this movie, Tam. I just don't know what to do with myself. 1 minute.
I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you.
I'm a volcano of fury. And the next minute I'm like,
oh my gosh.
You know what they say? Nobody's perfect. You gotta take the good with the bad. So he's got his mansplaining boundary, understanding, fucking good sides and bad sides.
Oh my gosh. It's just so polar opposite. Anywho, later Leah's parents are over and her dad is changing a light bulb because goodness knows Leah can't do that either. You know, it's so hard doing the screwing and unscrewing.
I did not even notice that her dad was changing a light bulb. I don't understand, Dad. The light bulb just went out and it's not broken or anything. It just stopped working all of a sudden. I don't know what happened.
They didn't even need to get on a step stool to reach it. It's like a low-hanging chandelier. Oh my gosh.
They tried poking it and nothing worked. I don't know.
Changing light bulbs is hard. Okay? It's hard.
And then I got the light bulb and I tried sticking it in there and it didn't stay. So I got some glue and I glued it in there. And it still didn't work. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Do you want to see my waistband full of broken light bulbs? Because this is what happens when you leave a lady like me with light bulbs unsupervised.
Ma, I told you we shouldn't have let her out this dang house without marrying a man. She can't live on her own. She's all defenseless out here.
You're fucking hilarious. Oh, so as we went over, her dad is changing the light bulb. Oh, I'm back.
Oh, God.
When Mark just comes on into the house, we progress from a knock before entering to opening the door and saying, knock, knock. Mark says, I grabbed these muffins from the coffee guy who likes you. He sets the muffins on the counter and holds the chandelier steady for Leah's dad because holding the... The chandelier study is man's work.
It takes two men to change a light bulb.
Leah introduces her dad to Mark. Everybody exchanges pleasantries, and Mark leaves to walk his pupper. As soon as he leaves, Leah's mom gives her the, ooh, Mark look. And Leah is not having it. Mom, I may need a man to change my light bulbs, but we're just friends.
No, we can't go back there. We're not going to get through this.
Her dad says, well, I'm just glad you have someone to look after you. Leah responds, I actually wrote this part into my script. Leah responds, I don't need looking after, just someone to replace my light bulbs, because screwing in light bulbs is hard. But I know what you mean, Dad.
Twinsies!
Oh my God, twinsies.
In this scenario, I'm Danny DeVito, and I'm sad.
Oh, you are not Danny DeVito. I don't want to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wait, I'll be Arnold. You be Daddy.
Okay. He's Wiley.
Mom and Dad have to leave because the baseball game is going to start soon, but before they leave, her mom leaves her a lasagna. Thanks, Mom!
The men fix things and the women cook. That's this whole movie.
Oh, my God.
The next day at the new studio, Leah apprehensively approaches Chris. I'm sorry I predicted sunny skies while you were under the weather. No pun intended. He barely looks up from his paper with an, it's okay, we've both made mistakes. Leah sees this as an in and adds, I have been working really hard. I have learned a lot about weather predictions. That's really good, Chris says, and finally looks up. Because if you can predict when this weather will end, you may find yourself doing more than midday forecasts. She gets a glimmer in her eye. You mean? Leah asks. I'd be working with you? Yeah, Chris confirms, if you can tell us when we'll see the sun again. Leah's transfixed with all the possibilities this conversation has. She needs to be fucking accurate on her next forecast.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder when Chris had the change of heart, because he was all like, man.
Seriously, that's what I was going to say, though, because you said that he says, oh, it's okay if you fucked up the weather report, that happens. And I was like, blow me over with a feather? What the fuck? Yeah. That is so gracious of him, and yay, I'm very glad that he was like that. I was not expecting him to be like that at all. That is very off-brand. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, if you can be successful in this thing, you can actually help me, and I can potentially mentor you. And I'm like, oh, suddenly the sun broke out, the golden skies, there's a halo of light coming down, and I'm like, who entered Chris's body and another person?
They did say he was sick, so I wonder if he might have caught a disease that, like, changed his whole personality, or he took an anger management class, or he went to a work sensitivity workshop that he was required to go to because he was an absolute ass, and then came back and was like, women can tell the weather. I never knew.
The fourth possibility, he was really sick, he had fever dreams. And it was one of those Scrooge-type scenarios where they take him into, like, the past and the future and the present. And he was like, shit, if I don't want to burn in fiery hell, I've got to do something a little bit differently here. He had a man-in-the-mirror moment.
Fair. Or he was drunk.
Oh, you know what? I actually think that's probably it. Option number five, drunk.
He was three fingers into a glass of Uncle Nearest's whiskey, and he was feeling it.
Uncle Nearest? I've never heard of that.
That's why you have to watch that How I Made This podcast I recommended the other day. All right. She needs to be fucking accurate on her next forecast. The following day, she is tracking weather patterns like she's never tracked them before. She realizes after a few hours that she hasn't eaten and goes foraging in the fridge to find her mother's lasagna. She sighs a huge, oh, thank you, Mom, while popping it in the oven and going back to her bank of weather computers. Sometime later, she hears a beep, beep, beep.
No.
And she yells and opens the oven to expose a moderately burnt dish. It wasn't that bad. I still would have eaten it, but that's just me. She tries to bat all the smoke away when Mark shows up at her back door. He disarms the alarm because obviously she can't do it herself and asks, was that dinner? Yes, she admits, and lunch and breakfast the next day. Ugh. Well, Mark offers, why don't you come with me? I was just going to go see my dad, and he always cooks too much for just the two of us.
Aww.
No, Leah protests. I should just order a pizza and keep tracking this weather. Come on, Mark says. I happen to know the best place to track all of that. She scoffs. Why am I not surprised? Come on, he encourages. My dad's used to the unexpected, and I promise there's Wi-Fi out there. Scout's honor. He holds up his fingers in the improper scout's hand pledge. And Leah chuckles.
And he says, you see, nature weather is more accurate than those science-y doomajiggies that you have over there.
Oh, my God. Like... They go to Mark's father's farm, and it's everything Leah ever wanted in country life. It's an expansive plot of land with a red barn at the front and cows everywhere. Mark's dad meets him in the driveway, introductions are made all around, and Leah shakes his hand saying, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Crawford, to which he growls good-naturedly, only the tax man calls me Mr. Crawford. Unless you're working for the IRS, you can call me Dean.
Aww.
She smiles and obliges. Okay, Dean. Mark shows her around his family farm, a.k.a. his old stomping grounds. And while they walk in a lush green field surrounded by mooing cows, Mark divulges, cows can also teach you about the weather.
Oh.
See how they're all moving around? They're getting ready for the rain. Well, Leah says a little reserved, I guess more rain's better than a drought. No, 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 you stupid woman, Mark tells her. Too much rain is... He doesn't say that, but damn it. Enough with the weather talk. And how do you know if the cows are moving around more than normal? I don't...
Well, because when you live around them, you know. But I will say, she motherfucking mentions about too much rain being bad in an earlier freaking scene. Oh. So does he need to mansplain this to her?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He needs to mansplain a lot of things to her.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know that the cows aren't, like, reacting to a predator, you know? Like, maybe there's a wolf around the perimeter of the fence. Maybe they're reacting to that. How do you know it's the weather, Mark? How do you know?
Because then they go, moo, wolf, moo, wolf.
And you heard it first here from Corinne, folks.
Hashtag girl scientist.
No, Mark tells her, too much rain is as damaging to our plants as droughts, rusts vegetables on the vine, and drowns the roots. It's nature's way of saying, respect what she provides. You know what, Mark? That is right. Nature, as in Mother Nature. Mother Nature. Mother being female, just saying, just throwing that in there, just putting that out there.
Oh, nature weather tips.
Oh. Mark puts up his hand and catches a raindrop. Guess the cows are right. And it begins to pour. They take shelter back at Dad's farmhouse under a porch awning, swapping stories over lunch. Dean regales Leah about the start of their farm baseball league and Mark's integral part in it. You know, Leah shares, I come from a long line of baseball fans, too.
Well, no wonder you two get along so well, Dean observes. So, is there anything else you two have in common?
Well,
Winky.
Well, Leah says, he is teaching me how to read the weather.
Not hard to do,
Dean observes.
Would be nice if we got a dry spell soon. You got something saying that in your forecast?
Leah shrugs. No, sorry. According to the cows, that rain's not going to let up.
Oh, well, Dean says.
Eventually it will. It always does.
That night, Mark and Leah are leaving. Leah gets in the car first, and Mark hangs back to tell his dad, if you need any help around here, you just ask, okay?
Dad scoffs. Son, you stay in the city, and you give it a fair chance, because from where I'm standing, it's looking pretty good to me.
They hug goodbye, and the two of them head home.
They return home from visiting Mark's dad, and Leah is super happy. It's so nice being out in the country. Thank you for taking me to meet your dad and see the farm. Mark smiles and says, my pleasure, and I brought a little of the country back with me. And he pulls out a bouquet of wildflowers that he picked from the farm from behind his back. Leah lights up and sticks her face into them, giving the bouquet a good sniffer. The scent is so strong. And Mark replies with nature weather fact number 527. Well, there's a lot of moisture in the air, you see. And
a lot of moisture in my pants until you said that too, ass.
I know, I was like, oh, it's so cute. Oh, fuck, it's another nature weather fact.
So
So conflicted.
After another nature weather fact, Leah notices an envelope in her mailbox. Mark posits that it's from another admirer, but no, it's from the city, and funding for her rain barrel weather station in the park has been approved. Yay! Muppet arms for everyone!
My sisters are doing it for themselves. Without any stupid man explaining how.
But they won't be able to start until next year, which is a long time away. Boo! Oh. Mark has a solution. Nature weather! No, I'm just kidding. He says, let's recruit people from the community to help. I'm sure if we gather together, we can knock it out. Leah looks up at him excitedly. You'd help with that? Mark assures her. Absolutely. Leah is thrilled and gives him an enthusiastic hug. They embrace, pressing their bodies against each other, and for a moment, time is frozen. They pause, holding each other, slowly rocking back and forth, when we have a break. Yay!
Oh, I was like, no, let me just sit in this moment for a little while longer. Let's just stay here.
Welcome back. When we were last with Mark and Leah, their bodies were pressed close in an intimate, prolonged hug. Leah is feeling feels and takes a moment before she realizes that she's got her year of Leah and that this hug is really not conducive to it. So she breaks away, says that she's got to put flowers in the water, and Mark agrees. Yeah, totally makes sense. They look at each other and Mark's eyes say, did you feel what I felt? And Leah's eyes say, oh shit, I've got to go. They say goodnight and return to their respective homes.
That hug was fucking hot.
Mm-hmm. Like, if that man said anything, I'd just be like, shh, don't ruin this. Just don't say anything, Mark. Just, I'm afraid what's going to come out of your mouth. It may be delightful. It may be condescending. So just shh, just stand there and be pretty.
I know. It's like, swoon, fuck you, swoon, fuck you, swoon, fuck you.
You feel so conflicted.
So conflicted.
It's irritating how attracted I am to you.
Seriously. There. That.
Thank you, Ryan Pavey Cosio. And next we see Leah at work recruiting coworkers to help with her park weather station project. Nolan eagerly volunteers and then pitches that, hey, they go out for drinks afterwards.
No means no, Nolan. No means no.
Exactly. Yes, he has obviously not heard Leah say no, and that she is doing her year of Leah, unlike Mark, who in that way is an excellent ally. Fortunately, She doesn't have to explain to him again, because she's interrupted by Conrad, who gives Leah Chris's most recent weather projections. It's sunshine, but Leah knows from blending science and nature that rain is still in the forecast. So she approaches Chris. He sees her and says, I'm surprised you didn't catch the break in the weather. Too bad you missed out on that opportunity to have me actually do a little mentoring with you. Oh, well, Leah tries to couch her disagreement as softly as possible. Well, I actually don't think the rain is going to break right now. Chris is derisive. What makes you think the sun's not coming out in a couple of days? All the other meteorologists are predicting sunshine, too. Leah takes a breath. I know what the science says, but the nature weather is telling me otherwise. Chris says.
I am super appreciating all of your interpretive hand gestures, and I wish everybody could see them. I didn't understand it until you put this hand out, and then put this hand out, and then join them together with emphasis.
Let me talk to you about changing a light bulb. Actually, let me just send a man over for you, okay?
Thanks. I love you, too.
No, two men, because one can't change a light bulb. So nature weather's telling her otherwise. Chris says, please tell me you're joking. We follow science. None of that alternative nature stuff. The science says sunshine, so we're predicting sunshine. And now it's time for Project Weather Activate.
Mark and Leah are in the park orchestrating the park weather station project. Sadly, meteorologist Chris's weather predictions were off and there's no sunshine because he doesn't believe in nature. However, Leah is a convert. She thanks Mark. You know, it turns out combining nature and science is a winning weather prediction combination. And I am like, yes, let's use science and nature, which is also science, and put them together as another resource versus just being like, no, only nature works. No, only science, quote, science works. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
They cannot be joined together, Corinne. They must remain completely separate, no matter what your hands say.
But they're meshing. They're meshing like this.
No, no, no. You uninterlock those fingers. You uninterlock those fingers. That does not happen here.
Science, nature, science, nature. Thank you, Leah says, for sharing all your nature weather TM knowledge. Mark is pleased, but he's about to be less pleased when Nolan arrives. Leah warmly greets him, introduces him to Mark, and sends him off to help with the barometers. After he's left, Mark probes. That Nolan, he seems like a pretty nice guy, so you ever dated? She explains that after he ditched her for Vegas, he was actually the inspiration for the Year of Leah. Mark feels things out further. So, when the Year of Leah is over, do you think that you'll make up for that missed date? Leah says, well, I'm actually considering extending the Year of Leah. So far, it's served me really well. No men, no dating, no heartbreak. Which has increased my confidence. There's a bit of a record scratch for Mark. Wow, so you're considering not dating for longer? Leah says, yeah, well, since I've started my plan, I've got my own apartment, my degree, and my predictions are getting better, so I may just run with it indefinitely. Suddenly it starts pouring and Leah pops open a beautiful large rainbow umbrella and gets close to Mark so they can both be under it. They stare into each other's eyes, sharing a moment, when Mark's cell phone dings. He checks it out, and it's Rochelle. She's going to be in town and wants to get together. Leah asks, are you going to go? And Mark says, yeah, I think I am. I'm not dating like you. It would be nice to get together. It is now Leah's turn to be jealous. And P.S. Leah, Mark can't be your emotional surrogate for not dating. That's just a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. A little later, Leah goes to her mom's house and she's sitting on her mom's couch saying, I don't care if he does go out with Rochelle. I'm just worried because he's vulnerable right now. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Her mom asks, and Leah clarifies, he doesn't know what he wants to do and she may influence his decision to stay in the city. So you don't want him to stay? Mom asks, and Leah protests, No, I'm not saying that. It's just I want him to stay because it's right for him. Dad waltzes in and wishes Leah happy birthday, honey. And she says, did you make those reservations at Mallory's? Of course, he answers. That's tradition. Just the three of us, like it's always been.
Aww.
Meanwhile, Mark and Rochelle are on their catching up date. It's lovely and informal. They talk about dogs, what they're doing now. But Mark keeps turning the conversation back to Leah. Leah. Rochelle asks, are you guys just friends? And Mark assures her that they are. But there's something else there, and we all know it. Mm-hmm. Except for Rochelle. Leah gets back home from her mother's house and decides to take a little sneak peek into Mark's window. She leans in, trying to hear what's going on inside. But he's not there. In fact, after a few moments, he shows up behind her and says, what are you doing? She flips around and quickly says, oh, I thought I heard Brody. But then looks down and sees that Brody is on his leash and says, oh, I guess I was wrong. So, she continues a little too enthusiastically, how was your date with Rochelle? He shrugs and says, good. And she says, oh, great. Well, I gotta go. My Doppler radar thingy's calling me. But just then her phone rings. Her phone pings. He looks over and asks, hopefully, is that your dating app? She says, oh,
No, but there is this big storm front approaching. A sly smile comes across her face, and Mark says, I don't know why, but that look scares me. She scoffs. Why? Unless you don't like storm chasing. He reaches down and ruffles his dog's head and says, So, Brody, what do you think? You want to go storm chasing? And they both smile at each other. There is something electric in the air, and it ain't the weather. They go out into the storm. They park in his truck under gray stormy skies. And Leah tells him her love of weather origin story. She says, When I was a kid, I used to lay on my bedroom floor when a storm was coming so I could look out the window and get a perfect view of it on the horizon.
Aww.
He smiles sweetly and says, Oh, not much has changed, except now you have a better view. They gaze at each other a little too long, and she breaks the tension by asking, So, Mr. Snackman, what do you have for me today? He smiles and rifles around and says, Well, as a matter of fact, I happen to have a half-full bag of moderately stale potato chips.
Mm.
She reaches right in, takes one out, and crunches on it and says, Perfect! As she's munching away, she's gazing out in the wet landscape and says, I don't know about you, but storms always make my hair stand on end. He looks at her smiling out in the rain and says, Yeah, me too.
Oh, such a beautiful moment, such a beautiful moment. The rain is pounding on the truck and they're having this intimate, cozy conversation.
And he didn't mansplain anything.
No.
Yes.
No. And when she said there was a storm front to come, and he wasn't like, but nature weather.
TM.
Well, actually, when my dog scratches his ear on this side, that means that there's going to be hail later.
Thanks, Brody. Thanks for the hail predictions. It's Leah's birthday, and she wakes up to texts from four different guys wishing her a happy birthday and asking her out. After she's dressed and starting her day, she gets a knock on the door, and it's Nelson motherfucking Wong, a.k.a. George. He sings, It's your birthday, and you know what they say. With a big smile on his face, she cuts him off, thanking him and grabbing the bear from his hand. She adds the bear to a pile of gifts from her other admirers. I have a feeling that George has sung to her several other times that day. Mark knock enters and sees the pile of gifts. Did all your admirers find out that you weren't dating indefinitely? Leah scoffs. No, it's my birthday. Mark is surprised. How did I not know that? Then Leah's parents knock enter, greeting her with happy birthday.
Girl needs a lock on her door.
I know. Everybody's just like, hey!
Nelson motherfucking Wong just flings the door open and starts singing, It's your birthday!
It's your birthday, because it's a bear.
Birthday. God, I don't like it. I don't like it, no.
I like it because it comes from Nelson motherfucking Wong's lips.
Oh, and it is Octo-bear-chested.
Nelson motherfucking Wong knew it. He knew it.
He provided the bear chest. He
worked it into a song.
That we didn't have... Just
sipping
was
my
with
water,
a,
sipping my water.
A little stuffed bear. When Leah's mom sees Mark, she invites him along to Leah's birthday dinner at Mallory's, and after a little convincing, he accepts. At Leah's birthday dinner, the four of them are seated around a table chatting. Dad is regaling Mark with stories of Leah's childhood and her passion for weather, running out into storms as a little kid, and when she was 16, going on a storm-chasing tour with him. Leah's dad says, I wanted to get out of there so badly, I think we should stay away from storms, not chase them. Mark responds, I can totally see that. Storms make my hair stand on end. He pauses, looks over at Leah with a twinkle and a little smile, and says, in a good way.
Ooh.
She smiles back at him with hard eyes. Their eyes lock, and they share a moment. Then Leah's mom breaks in. So, Mark, how's your job going? Way to read the room, Mom. Way to read the room. He says, pretty great, actually. They've offered me a full-time permanent position. I just have to decide if city living is the place for me, or farm life where I wanna be. Land spreading out so far and wide. Should I choose the city or the countryside? Just then, a server arrives with a piece of cake that has a candle in it. She looks down at it and Mark smiles at her, saying, "Make a wish." She blows out the candle. And with that, we blow into the next scene. Leah and Mark are dropped off at their townhouse, and as soon as the parents drive off, Mark and Leah talk on the porch. "Thanks so much for coming," she says. Mark smiles. "I was happy to go. Plus, I was planning on dropping by this evening regardless." He ducks around the corner of the porch and grabs a gift bag, offering it to Leah. "I thought you didn't know it was my birthday." She takes the gift bag and pulls out a pot of daisies. She is pleased. "Thank you so much," Mark says. "Of course I knew. You have it circled on your calendar." Not exactly subtle. Now, these aren't just any flowers. And this is the one nature weather moment where I'm like, I give him a pass and I think it's kind of cute and romantic. He says, "Daisies can be used to predict weather. When rain is on its way, the petals close up so rain doesn't get in. But when it's going to be sunny, they unfold and open their petally arms to embrace it."
Aw, such a thoughtful gift. It's kind of
sweet.
Swoon.
Yeah.
Leah's a better person than me because if that happens, it's going to be like, "Enough, motherfucker! Enough with the weather things! Enough already!
Stop with the nature weather! Stop with the nature weather!" But he knows she cares about predicting the rain, and he gives her this object that does predict the rain, which is kind of sweet.
Gives her a lot of flowers. When they got back from the dad's farm. Daisies for her birthday. Mm. Hey, flowers.
Is this love that I'm feeling? Is this the love that I've been searching for?
No, it's not.
There's too much nature weather.
Okay, friends. Here it is. Ta-da. The October chested moment. Whoa. Do not blink, because if you do, you'll miss it. Mark and Darren are hashing out the details of that night's events. "What's going on with you?" Darren asks. "Are you friends? Aren't you? Should I ask her out? Shouldn't I ask her out?" "We're just friends," Mark assures, which is now indefinite. "So what do you have to lose?" Darren asks. "I don't know," Mark says reluctantly. "If I ask her out, it changes everything. So maybe my best bet is to wait until she's ready. If I'm not the one, I don't know." "Maybe," Darren offers, "you should give this whole dating thing a shot. What about Rochelle? You two do have a history, and right now a distraction is exactly what you need." Cut to the next day. The next morning, Darren is off to a trade show in Chicago, and Mark is seeing him off. As they're walking out the door, Rochelle walks up. Mark is surprised.
What a coincidence.
What are you? Oh my God, Rochelle, what are you doing here? He asks. "Well," she answers, "Darren asked me to..." But before she can finish, Darren scoops her up in a hug and says, hey, "I haven't seen you since high school." She looks confused and Darren keeps going, "Wow, it's been a while since you and Mark and back in the day." He pauses long enough for her to say, "You called me." Darren makes a super casual throat-cutting gesture, and now everybody gets it. Darren was calling Rochelle to show up at his house and hopefully have a meet-cute with Mark. Rochelle adds, now playing along, "Mark, maybe we should have a coffee to catch up? That'd be great," he says, "but I'm going to work right now." "Oh," Rochelle looks undeterred. "Later then? Maybe dinner. I can cook your favorite veggie pot pie." He looks interested, but is interrupted by Darren's eagerness. "Here!" He shoves his keys into Rochelle's hand. "I'm out of town, so you have the whole place to yourselves." Winky, winky.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Great, Rochelle says. "I'll get the stuff and come back tonight." Darren laughs nervously. "Okay, Rochelle, you take care of my man." She leaves smiling, saying, "Mark, I'll see you later tonight." While she walks away, Mark says, "Really?" And Darren scoffs and shrugs. "What? She was in the neighborhood." The next day, Leah is looking at her weather computer, and it is all over the place.
She glances outside her window, and her daisies are closing up. She bends down for a closer look and then rushes next door. She lets herself in to Mark's place and starts talking before she gets inside. "Hi, my daisies are almost closed, so I'm sure that means rain is coming, right?" She looks up and finds Rochelle fully in veggie pot pie cooking mode. "You must be Leah," she acknowledges. "Yes," Leah says politely, and you must be Rochelle?" Rochelle says, "Mark tells me you're really good friends." She has an inquisitive look in her eye. "Yeah," Leah confirms, "we are." "Okay," Rochelle asks, "then which cobbler should I make, apple or berry?" Leah's face falls a bit. "Apple," she says quietly. "I thought so," Rochelle pipes up. "I just wasn't sure if his taste buds have changed." There's an underlying meaning in that statement, and to further push her point home, Rochelle adds, "By the way, if you need Mark right now, he's not here. I just came in to start his favorite dinner, veggie pot pie," they both say in unison. But Rochelle assures her, "I'll make sure to tell him you stopped by." Leah leaves, a little defeated, while Rochelle continues cooking. And Rochelle might as well have started peeing in the corners the way she was trying to assert her position in Mark's life.
"Rochelle, I'd like the berry cobbler, please."
Yes. Berry. Berry always wins, not apple. Berry all day.
Berry. That whole thing was so fucking awkward. Ugh. Rochelle's like, "What the fuck?" And Leah's like, "Oh, what the fuck?" Everybody's like, "What the fuck?" There's a lot of "what the fuck" going on.
Thanks, Darren. Darren made it all happen.
Rochelle and Mark are eating outside in the shared backyard. They're reminiscing, and Rochelle has done a great job with the vegetable pot pie. Throughout their date, Leah is spying on them. Not that she cares. She just wants to make sure everything is okay.
Uh-huh.
And she just wants to know what's going on, you know? Leah moves from the kitchen to the backyard porch, where she accidentally knocks a plant off the railing, bringing attention to herself. Leah makes up an excuse about barometric pressure, wishes them a great dinner, and rushes inside. Mark glances over towards where Leah once was, and then turns to Rochelle. "Maybe we should pack up some of this for Leah. She is all by herself, after all." Rochelle didn't have huge expectations for the evening, but she certainly didn't expect that Mark would try to give the food she baked him to another woman. She decides to probe the situation a little bit. Super casually, not casually, she says, "Oh, hey, when I was cooking over at your place, the oddest thing happened. Leah just came into your apartment." Mark lights up. "Isn't it great? I go over to her place like that, too. It's like we're in one big townhouse instead of two." Rachel's brain hamster has given up the wheel and moves over to a corkboard with different points and red string. Once the hamster has connected the points between emotional availability, Mark and Leah, Rochelle takes a big fucking step back and reframes what she hoped would be a date with her and Mark into a friendly catch-up. "Thanks so much for putting up with Daryl being weird. It was really nice catching up with an old friend." Mark, completely oblivious, happily says, "Yeah, and thank you so much for the tasty food." Rochelle replies, "My pleasure, but you know, I've got an early day tomorrow, so I should really get going." She's about to leave when she says, "And don't forget, we were friends first, too. It's the best place to start."
The next day, Leah's sitting on the couch with her dad, eating popcorn and watching the baseball game. "I don't know, Dad. Maybe I was wrong." "Yeah," he mistakenly agrees. "I thought they were good enough to make the playoffs, too." "No, not that," Leah says. "Being focused on my career. What if I missed my chance for true love?" "Well," Dad offers, "your mom seems to think there's something going on with your neighbor, Mark," she pshaws. "We're just friends. Besides, he's seeing somebody else. I was actually thinking of giving Nolan another chance."
Oh.
Dad wordlessly pauses the TV in spite of Leah's protest. She hollers, "Dad, what are you doing? The bases are loaded." And Dad calmly explains, "Leah, you need to play the field. And when you're at bat, you need to make sure you're batting for someone worthwhile." Dad translation, That man looks like a cartoon character, and the fact that he already stood you up is BS, especially because he looks like he could be a stand-in for the cartoon Paw Patrol. Dad translation out. You need to find somebody who you want on your team. Leah looks at her dad and smiles. That is the most confusing fucking baseball analogy I have ever heard. He smiles, only half joking, and says, well, that's all I got.
He's saying, don't go out with fucking Nolan. He's a tool. Go out with Mark instead, you dork.
He's a tool that looks like a cartoon character.
Oh, but when you said he looks kind of like Paw Patrol, then I was like, cute!
That Nolan all of a sudden got so dreamy.
Right? This next section I call, fuck all, she's on a date with Nolan.
What?
Gentle listeners, I must tell you, I'm so what the fuck about this. Nolan is such a winner. While he hasn't enough together to observe that he's surprised she asked him out on a date because she doesn't seem interested, that's about all the points he gets on this date. He has chosen a sports bar with tons of TVs so he can watch the game. Doesn't really pay attention to anything she has to say, and admits that he's not really interested in doing anything different. He's perfectly happy with where he is, so why change it? After they've eaten, they walk around outside, and who do they happen to run into but Mark?
Dun, dun, dun.
Why did you go out on a fucking date with Nolan? Anyways, who upon seeing them shakes his fist at the sky and yells, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Trail, 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 trail.
He looks wounded and checks in. So, y'all doing something for work? Nolan enthusiastically says, it's a makeup date. She decided to give me another chance. Mark has a thought bubble that explodes over his head. Bloop, bloop, bloop. What the fuck? She won't date me, but she'll go out with Nolan? Oh, fuck that shit. Outwardly, he says, well, y'all have a good rest of your date, and walks off. You done fucked up, Leah. You done fucked up. Ugh. That scene fucking broke my heart. Even though he was a weathered douche mansplainer, he also had, like, a lot of sweetness to him, gosh darn it. And the fact that she would go out with Nolan, instead of him, for her, like, oh, I think I might stick my toe in the dating field. Let me go out with Nolan?
Yeah.
The word no is in his name.
I think they maybe make those weather mansplaining comments and they kind of strategically inject them into the movie, because if I was next door neighbors with that man and he didn't keep dropping some unsolicited quote unquote wisdom on me, I would have dropped my panties quite a few times. I would have been like, oh, did you just walk in and I'm completely naked? Oopsies. Oh, well, just come on in, you know, close the door behind you. It's cold.
Oh, there's a light bulb that needs changing at my house.
There's something that needs changing, but that's not the light bulb.
I think it needs some screwing in.
Something needs to be screwed in, or something really needs batteries. I can't tell you what it is out here, but once we're in the privacy of my house, I'll tell you what it needs. What needs batteries? It's shaped like an immersion blender.
Corinne's face turns bright red. Mark gives Darren a call and says that he's heading back to the farm. There's nothing keeping him here. But before he leaves, he writes Leah a letter. Once she gets home, she opens it and reads, I've decided not to stick it out for the full year. You're right. When you know something isn't right, it's just better to move on. For what it's worth, you were the silver lining in my stay in the city. You made me think that staying here might be a possibility. However, since it was obvious that we were on two different paths, I decided to go back to the country where I'm happiest. Take care and keep on looking at Mother Nature for the signs of weather to come. Mark.
Why?
Dear John, by the time you write this note, I'll be gone.
Sometime after Mark leaves, Leah is wallowing in all her feels when Nelson motherfucking Wong, a.k.a. George, knocks on her door with a bouquet of flowers. She takes them, gives them a look-see once over, and says, There's no card with these.
Yeah,
George confirms, because they're from me. I thought maybe we could go for a walk sometime.
Yes, George, we can. We can totally go for a walk.
She smiles at him. A little glimmer shines through the sadness before she explains. I'm not dating right now. I mean, I was, but it was a mistake, and I'm not anymore. She tries to give George the flowers back, but he politely waves her off. Just consider it a gift to mend that broken heart I see. Aww. He tips his hat to her and begins walking away. But before he can leave her porch, she lunges at him and kisses all of his face while trying to simultaneously climb him like a mid-sized tree. Oh, wow. No, wait, sorry, my mistake. That's what would happen if Corinne answered the door. Leah just looks down. George says, take care. And she slowly closes the door on Nelson motherfucking Wong.
Oh, don't close the door on Nelson motherfucking Wong.
Meanwhile, Mark and Leah are living two completely separate lives. Mark is being a country mouse and is out at the family farm talking to the cows. The cows seem calm, so he goes to his dad and proclaims, here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo, here comes the sun, and I say, put the hay out, dee-nee-nee-dee-nee-nee-dee. Nice. Well, he says it's going to stop raining and put the hay out. Because the wet spell has passed. And Leah, who's being a city mouse, is walking down the street when she passes a woman with a beautiful bouquet of daisies, and they're all open. She yanks them towards her from the woman's hands and says, holy crap, your daisies are open! They are? The woman looks scared, confused, and like she's about to bolt. Leah yells, yeah! I could see clearly now the rain is gone. And runs to the weather studio! On her next AARP weather report, which I really have to fight every time I say that because I really want to say AARP. Uh-huh. On her next AARP weather report, she predicts sunshine and tells everyone to put their umbrellas away. Sunshine is here to stay. When the segment ends, Nolan approaches her and asks, are you sure about that? And she says, yes. And thank you for the redo date. I mean, I really appreciate it, but I need to go. And she rushes out of the studio with determination in her eyes and finally her head out of the clouds. Leah goes to Mark's family farm. He sees her in the distance and slowly walks towards her while taking off his hat, asking, what are you doing here? She approaches him slowly, hopefully, and admits, I need to thank you for helping me to predict the weather because it's finally breaking. His hands fidget by his pocket and he looks down and quietly says, oh, you would have figured it out. And she asks, would I have? Or would I have plowed ahead like I did with the year of Leah, when I should have seen what was right in front of me? She takes a tentative step forward. My future, my best friend, was next door, right in front of me, and I let him go. He looks down with an aw shucks look on his face, and she goes on. Now I'm afraid it's too late, that when I was building my walls and closing everyone off, I may have lost more than a friendship. Mark looks at her disbelieving and says, you didn't lose anything. And I would wait another year just to be with you. She smiles. Really?
Would he walk 10,000 miles? And would he walk 10,000 more?
Did you just ruin my segment, Corinne? You just ruined a beautiful moment here. It's probably. Sorry. I would say yes.
I'll cut that out. Resume.
Oh, don't. It's great. It's great. But would he be the man that walked 1,000 miles to show up at her door? Okay, hold on. Come and bring it back. Bring it back. She smiles. Really? You would wait for me? And he says, yes, but I'd rather not. She gets closer and says quietly, neither would I. And they kiss. And they lock lips for like 4 Mississippis. And when they part, he says, I love you, Leah. She smiles up at him and says, I love you, Mark. And the camera pans to the sunset. And I can only hope that they're really giving the cows something to look at. The end.
It was so sweet when he was like, I would wait another year for you. And I was like, oh,
but I'd rather not. Oh, goodness. Okay, well, then how many dry kisses, Corinne, how many dry kisses would you give this movie? The good, the bad, the sweet, the ugly.
I was so confused by this movie, Tamara.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you.
I want to rip your eyes out. I want to rip your clothes off. I want to rip your eyes out. I want to rip your clothes off.
Yes. It had genuinely sweet moments. Moments of, like, progressive boundary respecting. Moments of actual legit supportiveness to lady partner. And then there was all the other stuff. And then there's Nelson motherfucking Wong.
Yes. Yes, there is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, because of Nelson motherfucking Wong, this gets 3 dry kisses. It is like...
Okay.
It's saved by Nelson motherfucking Wong. But, oh, this movie gave me the passions, and not in a good way most of the time. But as Tamara and I have established, changing light bulbs is so hard. Actually, oh, I'm sitting in the dark in my apartment right now because I haven't had a man in a really long time. So I just have no choice but to sit in darkness.
I've got a counter full of casseroles and nobody to eat them. And I'm sitting in the dark because there's nobody to change the light bulb.
Tam asked me if I was in the witness protection program because I was just a dark silhouette in the video cam. How many dry kisses do you give this movie?
So hard.
I know.
I feel the same way. Yep, I was super into Christopher Russell. He kind of looked like a Chris Hemsworth, and mm-hmm. I dig Chris Hemsworth. So when Ooh. I saw him, I was like, well, hey there. And then he opened his mouth, and I was like, oh, nope. I did like him and Cindy Busby's chemistry.
Yeah, they had really good chemistry. Holy cow.
I liked how his ex-girlfriend walked away gracefully. I thought that was a really nice moment. Mm-hmm. It was countered by his weird-ass friend Darren. There was all the mansplaining, but then there was all the good moments, like you pointed out. Did learn something about the weather. I guess I was happy about that Jason Laney didn't teach me in my weather and climate class because we were using science and not nature.
Nature weather.
I'm gonna give it 3 dry kisses because I'm waffling between 2.5 and 3. It was fine. It had its moments. It had its niceties. It had its rage-inducing things too.
Okay, I am right there with you. It evened out to meh.
That should be the 3 dry kiss rating. Evened out to meh. You know how it's like, 5 stars, excellent. 4 stars is good. 3 stars evened out to meh.
Yeah. It's like, meh. And then we have my one and only. Why? That's just like, why? With a question mark. 2 stars is why with a question mark. And 1 dry kiss is no. That's a no.
1 dry kiss is I would rather pull my lips off than have to watch this again.
Okay, so what movie do we have coming up next week?
We have You Cast a Spell on Me. You Cast a Spell on Me, baby.
AKA, because if you look it up on IMDb, it's different. A Kind of Magic. But if you're watching it on Amazon Prime, it's called You Cast a Spell on Me. Maybe the titles are confusing just like the movie is. Who knows?
I would say, yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. If you have thoughts about Love in the Forecast or our singular October chested Halloween movie that's coming up, You Cast a Spell on Me / A Kind of Magic, you can email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com or reach out to us via all of the social medias, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all at onedrykiss.
And if you can find the time, we would love to get your ratings and reviews anywhere you might listen to our podcast. Apple, Spotify, wherever you can put them down. We love the 5-star ratings and we love hearing what you have to say. So we'd like to read some more online if we get some. So make sure that you jot down if you love our show. And if you love something else, just Corinne, just me. If you prefer one of us over the other, we'd like to hear that too. Mostly me.
And I just want to briefly thank everyone who shared the podcast for my birthday. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yay.
Sharing is caring.
And a happy belated birthday to Corinne. Now we are the same age, and she can stop saying, well, you're the older one, because she knows how much I just enjoy the hell out of that. But until next time. Oh, God, you're so good at poking. Oh, my God. But until next time, we will bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah. Goodbye.
See you next time.
I press record. I'm recording right now. Yeah.
Okay. I'm recording now too. You're not the only one who can record, okay?
But I recorded first. I recorded like way before you recorded.
Oh, so it's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm. First, best OG recorder right here.
Yeah, you are older. You. That makes sense.
Oh, Jesus. Technically, by the year, we are the same age as of yesterday. By the month, you are still 5 months younger than me.
Just about. We're close to half a year apart, basically. Yeah.
No, but in 5 months. It's 5 months, not half a year. I was like, shaving all that time off I possibly can. At least give me that.
Actually, okay. You're June, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's four.
I like that even better. Yes.
I'm a good friend because four I said months. That.
4 months and 11 days.
Yeah, it's more complicated than that because let's just keep it at 4 months. You're like 3 months, 27 days, 5 hours.
76 minutes. Wait, that's no. 17 minutes. In 33 seconds.
There we go.
And then Corinne came into the world. And on this day of October 5th, 1976, in a hospital far, far away, there was a cry. A baby's wails pierced the night. And thus Corinne entered the world. Somewhere, 4-month-old Tamara lay in her crib and perked up because she felt a disturbance in the force. What's this? There's something out there that I feel like I have to find now. Her little 4-month-old self said to herself because she couldn't use her words yet.
Yeah, but you were still ahead of me. I mean, 4 months in baby's terms is like wildly advanced.
I would like to imagine us to have met when we were babies and me just like holding my head up and looking at you and being like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you hold your head up yet?
You're like, I've been doing this for a while now.
I know. Look what I could do. I can roll over. Can you roll over? I can roll over.
And I'm like, boop, I can poke.
Tired.